It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Top Order podcast. Stu and Raj here with another midweek IPL installment. Tonight we're going to talk about matches 38-40, Rajasthan versus Mumbai, CSK LSG, and the most recent game between Gujarat Titans and the Delhi Capitals, which saw 300s, a couple of thrillers, and some results that probably could be hugely impactful come playoff time. So that's all coming up right after this. So Raj, I wanted to start us off at this most recent game, Delhi versus Gujarat, partly because it's fresh in my memory, but partly because just an awesome game, you know, quality hitting, brilliant catches from Noor Ahmad, Rashid Khan, Fraser McGurk took a really nice one in the outfield, plus obviously the photo finish. And I think the place that I want to start most of all, you know, there's a lot actually that I want to touch on in this game, but the thing that struck me the most is that I think that last over with Rashid Khan, needs 19 to win. He hits 4-4, turns down the run, then hits a 6 and still has a chance to win that game. The last over now, I think I was used to being in an era where maybe like 10 or 12 off the final over felt like, oh, it's about 50-50, like bat versus ball, you know, who's going to win? That number has just blown out for me completely in this IPL. Where are you with kind of last over photo finishes these days?
It's an interesting one because I feel like the IPL is its own beast, you know, and in itself. It's probably higher. Like I'm thinking sort of 20 with the IPL. I'm going to say 50-50. You might even go higher than that. But yeah, there has been some horrendous death bowling, though, or even not even death at the end of a game, even in the first innings, some of the death bowling has been horrendous from everybody. It hasn't been sort of one team or two teams. Everyone has sort of been struggling with finishing off. I think I had a line in here that Norkia really he can't find a block hole if he wanted to. Everything's a full toss from him at the moment. But yeah, what about you? Where do you sit with it? You're recalculating of what is 50-50.
Oh, I think I'm with you that it's nearly like 18 to 20. You definitely feel now, I mean, maybe it is just recency bias and IPL stuff that we're just seeing. Like we saw Stark the other day kind of nearly, you know, nearly capitulate in that game and these other games where we're just seeing. And yeah, it seems like getting 20 off the last over, if they hit that first ball for four, it's just, or, you know, first ball four or six, it's kind of all over. And you think, okay, batting side is ahead now.
I mean, even we saw that one against Punjab Kings where Anadka had to defend 29 and he only just stuck in with the score 27 off that over. So, look, it just seems to have, that art of death bowling seems to have been lost at the moment.
Totally, totally. And I mean, yeah, going back to that first innings then. So Delhi, I've written down in my notes, Delhi were 123 for 3 with a ball to go in the 15th over. Akshar hits that next ball for 4 off Rashid Khan. And then him and Rishabh just go absolutely bonkers with some help from Tristan Stubbs. They scored 101 in the next 5.1 overs. And yeah, good luck to you trying to pick the turquoise cap this week. I mean, we've only seen 3 games since our last power rankings. But I mean, Akshar hit one straight from Noor Ahmad. Rishabh Pant hit one over cover from Mohit that I loved. And then obviously just, you know, you just talked about it there, these final overs, hit 31 off that final over. Mm-hmm. I mean, just stunning stuff.
Look, the batting is definitely out-trumping. I don't know if that's the right phrase. They're bowling, definitely. you know, we were wondering when the sort of when the balance was going to shift. It doesn't seem to be shifting. Definitely, if you're playing Sunrisers, that's definitely not shifting. but look, incredible batting. I was interested to see Akshar Patel batting at three. It was an interesting move. I haven't seen much of him batting, even though he has been in the international spotlight for a while. He looked really good. He was hitting them straight down the ground, playing cricket shots. Very, very good. And Rishabh Pant, every game that we see of him, he is adding to what he's bringing to that Indian World Cup squad. I know I do want to talk about his keeping a little bit in a little bit, but from a batting perspective, he's just hitting them clean. He's hitting them all around the ground. He's going to be very hard to bowl to for any bowler that he comes up to in the World Cup. And you know, I'm counting Delhi out of the IPL going forward, but for the rest of the IPL, but definitely when we get to the World Cup.
Totally. I mean, Rishabh Pant, the final over, that is the story of the game, that it got really exciting. But I actually think Rishabh is the story of this game because, you know, just the way, not like actually thinking about the game that he played previous to this, he actually was the first time when I thought, oh, he looks a little bit out of touch. He hasn't quite, you know, couldn't quite get going in that last game. This game just turned around. I mean, obviously, when you get 31 off the final over, then that certainly helps your stats. But yeah, I'm actually stunned by how well he is playing and how good he has looked since this injury. You know, look, I've probably been one of his biggest critics at least on our podcast in terms of, you know, his probably more his mindset and decision making sometimes in terms of what he was doing. But I think mainly that was because I was just holding him up to such a high standards because I believe that, you know, he could be that special. But, you know, he had a serious, serious injury. And I just have nothing for praise for him right now. Did you in your wildest dreams think he could come back this strong straight away?
Not at all. I mean, you look to other sports where they've had massive injuries. Even cricket as well, but other sports especially where they've had massive sort of leg injuries, they don't come back anywhere near as strong. And he seems to have come back fitter and just a better player all round mentally as well as what he's sort of putting out on the field. Nothing but praise. I mentioned his wicketkeeping. He's actually been really good behind the stumps, he took a really good catch. I can't remember who it was off in the first game that they played with Gujarat. The first game, he took a really good catch and he's done some really good work to the slower bowlers as well, taking some stumpings down the leg side. One of them was a bit lucky, but he was still there to do it. He's been really good behind the stumps from what I've seen.
Oh, totally. And I mean, yeah, look, he finishes this game with 88 not out off 43 balls, added 67 off 19 balls at the end there with Tristan Stumps. And I think you're spot on to point out his keeping. I got down keeping awesome too in this game because, you just have those two catches standing up, the one off Kuldeep, but the one, I think it was maybe Rakis, just, you know, really, really good catch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just fantastic. And like you say, I mean, I really wondered whether he could get himself back into that World Cup squad. I'd be stunned now if he's not like one of the first names on that team sheet with the way he's going.
I think he can start walking now. He'll make it there in time. The other thing that I'm excited to see with Rishabh Pant is how this applies to the longer formats or the one day and then the test formats, because he seems to be making better decisions. As you mentioned there, we're not seeing him running down the wicket. He's standing his ground, having a good base and just swinging through the line. Like if he does that in Red Bull cricket, he's going to be very hard to stop as well, you know, with all the fielding. They're not going to spread the field for him in Red Bull cricket unless he's on 200. So, I'm very excited to see how that sort of translates to the longer form as well. I do have a question for you about an Aussie that I've got my eye on at the moment in the DC team, Jake Fraser McGurk. He's really sort of opened my eyes up to his talents. Obviously, he has been doing it for a while, but I just have not given him enough notice that I should have been giving him. Well, he's got 55, 20, 65, and 23 so far, and I think he might have got a lower score in this game. Yeah, I think he might have got a lot. I'm not sure, but he's looked really good from a rep perspective. I know it'll be interesting to get Baldy's perspective on it, but he must be really pushing for the World Cup as well from an Australian point of view.
We talked about a little bit on our Monday power rankings that you missed, and yeah, totally. I mean, I set Baldy a little task on that for that recording and said, you know, who do you think he's like competing against for this for that World Cup squad. And Baldy kind of wrote out his list. Interestingly enough, he didn't have Stoyanis penciled in or in, written in pen. I think we might get to a game later where Stoyanis kind of inked himself into that World Cup squad for sure. But yeah, you know, I think that recently they've been picking short, right? Instead of, in the opening spot. So yeah, I mean, you know, if you think Warner's going to be there, you know, if you think Marsh is going to be back, guys like Travis Head, who's just going nuts, there's obviously a lot of power in this Australian lineup. But if you're thinking about an extra batter, the way Fraser McGurk, you know, he's doing nothing wrong. And he's doing, I said on Monday, I think that the fact that the thought, I suppose, is that it's going to spin in the West Indies, at least we sort of have no idea about the US, kind of what pitches we might see there. But the fact that it might spin, I think actually helps him, because the way he's dealing with spinners at the moment has just been brilliant. So, yeah, look, he's certainly making a strong case.
And from if we move over to the Gujarat Titans perspective, you know, not a great couple of games for them. What do you make of them?
Yeah, I'm pretty down on them. I you know, obviously, before, while Miller was out, it just felt like their batting had nothing. You know, Sai Sudarshan's been good, was good again tonight. You know, actually found a bit of tempo, something he's been struggling. Him and Shubman Gill have been getting a little bit stuck at times. But, you know, it really felt like they needed Shubman to get 90 or 100 or they'd be in big trouble without Miller. Miller comes back and, I mean, some of his sixes today, boy, oh boy, you know, he looked, you know, very, very good and obviously got them back in that match. But, yeah, I just feel like they don't quite have it. And if you think, but like, I like their bowling attack, but even that looked vulnerable today. You know, Mohit Sharma, I shudder to think what he even went for at the end. It was in the 60s, maybe even
73 for none.
Yeah, 73 for none off his four. And yeah, it's not going, you know, super well for him. So yeah, I think they're going to be struggling. I mean, you mentioned DC before, and we'd kind of written them off. They're actually putting themselves back in the mix with the way that CSK are struggling as well. But, you know, they're just a side that I don't want to play at the moment, Dally, because they're really hotting into form at the moment.
They're that banana skin that you made that mention a while ago, that you definitely don't want to play these guys. Their bowling has a little bit of a bit about rocks and diamonds about them, and I think the better teams will probably dispatch them. But, yeah, the way they can bat, at any stage, you feel like they could chase anything if they had to, and sort of a one-off kind of opportunity if they had one to sort of make a final or anything like that, or win a final. You don't want to play them at all, and you don't want to play them having to win to make it into the playoffs either if you're a playoff contending team. Just on the Gujarat Titans, I 100% agree with what you're saying. They're making batting look I fully appreciate they just scored 220 as well at a chase, but they are making batting look hard, especially early on. I mean, you take away David Miller's 50 there off 20-odd balls or whatever it was, and Sai Sudarshan got dropped early on in his innings as well, where he had 65 that he got. They're just making it look hard at the moment, and I think David Miller has made this obviously a lot closer than it possibly could have got, where he's been missing for the last few games. I think this is his third game back. But, yeah, I think they're making it hard to score. They're making – runs are hard to come by for the Gujarat Titans, and that's something they need to change going forward. I do like their – I've called it the spin thruple of Rashid Khan, Noor Ahmed, and Kishore there. They took seven for 68 in the first game that they played against DC there. So I really like that as well. You know, if the pitches start to turn, which I just – it looks like it is starting to favour the spinners a little bit, but there's just still so much in it for the batsmen.
Yeah. Kishore, unlucky, a bit unlucky today, kind of thrown to the wolves. Seems like they didn't want to bowl him while Akshar and Rishabh were on, and then suddenly it was like 18 overs are in, and we haven't bowled you yet. We kind of throw you one, and yeah, sort of didn't go so well. Anything else you want to mention on this game before we move to Rajasthan?
Not for me. I think Gujarat, you know, this is not where they wanted to be with these two games. These are two wins that they wanted to push them up the table. Yeah, unfortunate for them, but let's move on.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So, yeah, Rajasthan-Mumbai is the game that I kind of wanted to move on to next. And obviously that goes back a couple of days. And I think there are probably two stories from this game, you know, for the Rajasthan side. Obviously, Mumbai decides to, you know, probably a more important game. Well, very much so, a more important game for Mumbai. This was a game that they could put themselves back in that mix, get four wins on the board, which sort of gets you one win away from the top four at the moment, with the way that the table has crunched up a little bit over the last week or so, and in terms of at least the kind of three to eight spots in terms of the way that things are going. Bolt gets Rohit in the first over. Rohit hit that ball. Felt like he hit it to the moon. It went so high. Gets that wicket, but then Sandeep Sharma just takes over, and I think he's the story in terms of Rajasthan's with the ball. He gets Kishan in the second over, then gets Sky to make it 20 for 3, gets three more in the final over the innings to get 5 for 18. And I just think he's just been so – I think that's so huge for Rajasthan that they can bring someone like him off the bench. It just shows that the depth that this side has with Kuldeep Sen, Andre Berger, Kishab Maharaj all sitting on the sideline. And yeah, I mean, they just feel like a side that has got so many different options at the moment.
100%. Different people are standing up. I mean, you know, you talked about the bowlers there, Chahal, Ashwin, Avesh Khan, Trent Bolt, and Sandeep Sharma. He's probably the least known from a world stage perspective. He has played on the international stage, but he just comes in. He played the first few games of the tournament. He came in now after having those niggles. Bowls incredibly, and when at a time where we've talked about how horrible death bowling is, or some of the death bowling that's going on, he did a great job at the end there. Not to discount Bolt early on, taking those wickets were very important, and also Sandeep Sharma early on as well. But I'm just very impressed with this Rajasthan side. I've got a little one-line quote here. It just says, Rajasthan are a quality team. That is the summing up of their last few matches, is that, you know, they are a quality team. They've pulled, you know, sort of the win out of the jaws of victory. The victory out of the jaws of defeat. It's at points during their last few games. And, yeah, very, very good side. Very good side. Good bowling all round, even without Berger, you know. What do you make of their bowling? Ravi Chandranashan's been quite quiet. He's bowled well in terms of economy rate throughout this tournament. Quite quiet. What do you make of the bowling?
Yeah, I think, you know, your point stands. I don't know that we need to go too deeply in it, because they've just been so impressive in sort of all facets. And I think your point about different people standing up is we'll sort of get to later, because you know, they've had different batters stand up at different times as well, and it seems like, you know, they can. Some of these teams are very reliant on a couple of players that, you know, are in form and come in, and they are the ones that are expected to put in the big contributions. But for Rajasthan, it's different people every game, and they're just so well set up at the moment. I mean, we talked at the power rankings on Monday that, you know, there's a chance that Joss Butler, they might lose him for the playoffs and things, so that's a bit of a concern. But at the moment, especially with the impact player rule, they can just build their side to suit all conditions, and they can build their side that, you know, there is lots of different batting options, lots of different bowling options, and yeah, they're going to be very hard to beat.
I mean,
with the way that things are going.
Yeah, coming on to the batting, if you have a look at the batting lineup, the batting scorecard, and have a look who didn't bat chasing down 183, Rovman Powell, Ryan Prague, Shimon Hetmeyer, Dhruv Jurel. Like, these people didn't bat. They weren't required to chase down a score over nines, or they win it over nines. Jaiswal, incredible innings. Again, sticking to our you know, top order tempo of that 60 ball 100. I think he was 50 odd in the mid 50s or late 50s. Josh Butler, Sanju Sampson just sort of playing that mature sort of innings at the other end, feeding the strike, taking boundaries when they needed to, but just guiding the team home. There's so much experience in this side. So much experience, along with all these absolute power batsmen and incredible bowlers. I don't know how you beat them on a consistent basis.
They're looking pretty special at the moment, and as you say, Jaiswal was the one kind of in their ranks that hadn't performed, and you know, we've been waiting for him to make this big contribution after the incredible sort of last few months he's had, and capping it off with that England series and the Test series. And you know, here it was. I mean, yeah, got brought up as 50 off 31 balls, was actually dropped a few balls later off Chawla. But, you know, that could have made things interesting. But they just cruised it. They, you know, like you say, 180 to get, and they did it easy. As soon as Butler and Jaiswal got off to a decent start, even with Jasprit Bumrah, who we sort of always expect is going to do something special with the ball, I mean, Jaiswal hit him for that six over square leg that just sound like the sound off that bat was amazing.
Well, he had a smile on his face. Bumrah had a smile on his face after that.
Yeah. You know, look, I totally understand. You know, I am the chairman of the New Zealand chapter of the Yashasvi Jaiswal fan club. But, you know, he is such a special player, and I just love watching him bat. And, yeah, they made it look easy win.
And moving on to Mumbai now, how did you assess their performance? I'll let you have first go.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed in that they obviously got off to a really slow start. And I think if you're them, you know, that's what they're building this, well, not necessarily building their side, but that's the key to them winning a lot of these games. We've talked about how the struggles that they've had with the ball. They need guys like Rohit and Kishan and Sky to actually, you know, dominate attacks. And when you're 20 for three, I think in hindsight, you're actually pretty stoked that you got up to 179. I was really excited to see Nehal Wadera get a go. I really liked what he did last season. I'm actually surprised. I think this was his first game in this edition of the IPL. I'm surprised we haven't seen him earlier, you know, with guys like DeWalt Brevis and things like that, getting opportunities before him, because yeah, I think he looks a serious talent to me. Obviously, I don't see, you know, domestically all of that kind of stuff. I've just seen him in the IPL, but yeah, I loved what I saw from him last year. And yeah, hit that one-handed six down the ground. You know, hit a couple more off Yuzvendra Chahal. So he gets out for 49 off 24 balls when him and Tilak Varma were kind of ready to, you know, maybe get that score up to 200 at the end, but. You know, very, very impressive stuff. And yeah, I would like to see much more of him for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, 100%. Those two guys, I agree with you, being 20 for three or whatever they were. What was it? Was 20 for three.
Yeah.
Getting to 180 or 179 for nine was actually a really good effort from them. I liked the way Tilak Varma batted. I liked the way that Nehal Wadhera batted as well. I can't fault the batsmen early on. They're facing a ball. Trent Bolt and Sandeep Sharma bowled well. We talked about that already. That's going to happen sometimes with the swinging ball.
Yeah,
it happens. Rohit Sharma, Ishan Kishan, and Surya Sky. I'm just going to go with Sky. them out for a combined score of 16 is never going to be good for the Mumbai Indians, right? But I don't fault their batting. I think they gave themselves a good chance getting up to that 180 in that rescue there. The big thing for me is actually talking about their bowling. We've talked about it multiple times during this sort of power rankings and these Thursday sessions. There's just no penetration. Jasprit can't do everything all the time. Like, he has been incredible this whole tournament, but you've got Pandya opening the bowling and going for 10s. You've got Kutsia only bowling two overs going for 12s. There's just no help for him at the moment. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It feels like they're not in the RCB camp. No one's in the RCB camp. But it feels like no matter what they do with the bat, they're going to just struggle to defend scores or struggle to stop people setting scores that are incredibly high for them to chase. So that's the big sort of concern for me, is that because their weaknesses outweigh their strengths so much, their strengths almost don't matter as much. And losing this game to Rajasthan, you know, normally you'd say, okay, we can lose this game to Rajasthan. We know they're going to be there at the end. But the way they've played, they've probably lost the right to lose these games now. They need to actually win every game that they're playing. So every loss hurts. Mm. And this is one that hurts for them, I think.
Totally. I think Bully, I can't remember which, and I don't have the fixtures in front of me, but Baldy rattled off their remaining fixtures, I think, on Monday night, and they all look pretty tough on paper. You know, I think the majority of them, the games left that they have, are all games against teams that are above them on the ladder. So, you know, yeah, big problems for Mumbai. And you know, like you, I predicted, you know, strong performance from them this year. I thought they'd be right in the mix to win the tournament, but the bowling is just... I can't see how, you know, even if they go on a great run here, I can't see how that bowling attack can win you a tournament at the way things are going. And yeah, I don't know that there's much more to say on this game, unless you want to add anything.
I think I did like, and I have liked Chola's contributions throughout the last, you know, few games. I think he's played 5 games so far. He's taken a wicket here or there and not gone for more than 34. So he's been pretty good. There's just no help for Jasprit and these guys who are just chipping in. We need someone like, you know, we just talked about Rajasthan, Sandeep Sharma standing up, Berger standing up. He's not even in the team at the moment. I think we move on. I think we move on now.
Good. Yeah, Puyush Chhala was fired up in that game. Could have been a very different story if he gets that wicket of Jaiswal.
That was a bad drop too. That should have been that swallowed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And actually, just before we finish on this game, shout out to Yuzvendra Chahal, first IPL player to get to 200 wickets. Another little favourite of mine. So yeah, very very impressive stuff. And great contributor for a number of years. So
he's come a long way from being tied up and put in cupboards to now taking 200 wickets. So
I know
he's done a good job. Yeah. He is a good player.
He's brilliant. I'd love to see him back on the international stage at some point for India. Let's move on then to CSK and LSG at Chepauk. I mean, this we talked about a week ago about how this back-to-back set for CSK and LSG were going to be defining for both of their seasons, potentially. It could, you know, if CSK had won both of those games, we'd be sitting here now going, LSG are probably out of this tournament. Instead, they brought Matt Henry in and they've won both games. I'm not saying, you know, that's the reason why, but look, you know, that's kind of just what happens when you add New Zealanders to the mix. Although, to be fair, CSK have a few New Zealanders in it and it hasn't gone so well for them. But actually, look, you know, I think the big story, which we'll get to, is obviously Marcus Stoinis. But let's go through it kind of in the CSK batting innings first, because I think we do have to give certainly a shout out to Rituraj Gaikwad. I mean, there was that game that he was struggling at the start of the season, and then he got that runnable 60 when they were only chasing, I think, 140 odd against KKR, and that really kind of got him back into form, and he's just been rolling ever since, been picking up the strike rate. As you said, you know, he brought up his 100 from 58 balls around the 15 over mark. Him and Shivam Dubey just kind of hit the accelerator, and I think from a CSK on Monday, I said CSK, I really want to see from them the batting aggression where they can get up above 200. As a CSK fan, what I'm wanting now, you guys have been solid all year. What I want is you to go out and, you know, put up a score of over 200. They did that, just still didn't end up in a victory. But I think were pretty happy with how they batted, at least.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned a couple of times that we felt that CSK has left a few runs out there on occasion, especially when setting scores, just leaving a few out there. Yes, 100%, the aggression was much better. They batted well here. I was, you know, disappointed but not surprised to see Ruchin Ravindra not on the side when he got the first ball early in the week. I was like, oh, I think he's going to struggle to hold his position here with that one. Just on your man Dubey and also Gaikwad sort of accelerating towards the end there, when we've talked in the past about that sort of 8-6 over finisher role, this was textbook here from CSK with Shivam Dubey. He had faced about 18 balls, I think, going into the 19th over, the last 12 balls of the innings, and those two overs go for over 30 runs combined. That's textbook. That's how that role should be played, and they ended up on 210. So that was perfect from them there. I guess we'll probably sum up at the end, but really I can't get past how bad a loss this is, combined with the sort of the first loss in the week to LSG, as you mentioned, to the table, and to probably a little bit of their momentum as well. You know, that big that we talk about them sort of swinging forward, because it's out now actually a little bit in reverse for them at CSK. I think it might be time to send Mahendra Singh Dhoni up the order to open the batting.
Oh, mate, it's our case for getting him up the order is getting stronger every single game. I mean, yeah, obviously only one ball this game, but smashes it for four. I actually went and I was like, I must see what his strike rate is. He's striking at 260 this season, Rats. 91 runs, hasn't been dismissed. It's case closed. Get him up the order.
Look, you don't have to convince me. I would be putting him up there. He would definitely fall into that, you know, 8-6 over finisher for me. He's just hitting the ball so cleanly. This looks like a different Dhoni from the last few seasons, definitely. So, yeah, I'd love to see him up the order, but I don't know if we will get our wish.
Maybe not. I mean, to be fair, Dubey did a very nice job. Harsha just kept going, bang, bang. It was brilliant. I loved it.
I will bring a question back to you. You mentioned Matt Henry, so second game, or we played two games here. What do you make of his entry into the IPL?
Yeah, I think he's been really good. He's obviously picked up that wicket early on. Rahane.
It was a test match kind of wicket. Hard length. I like it.
Yeah, great little catch from Kale Rahul behind the stumps. I mean, that's what he's there for, right? He's there to move the ball, do the kind of Trent Bolt-ish role. You know, and they're not exactly the same bowlers. Matt Henry, even though Matt Henry does move it around, I actually think Henry's sort of stock length is a bit shorter than Trent Bolt's. It's probably hitting the top of off rather than, you know, trying to swing back and hit maybe the middle of the stumps. I think Henry's trying to hit the top there of the bales, but I think it's he's been an underrated white ball bowler for a long time. I think he's starting to finally get his dues on the international stage. I think the fact that, you know, they've picked him up sort of in for me shows now how highly he's kind of rated in terms of you know, around the world. He's starting to get that recognition, and yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see whether he makes the New Zealand World Cup squad and the T20 World Cup squad. And obviously these games are doing him no harm for that. So, yeah, fingers crossed. It'll be an interesting – New Zealand had a few interesting decisions because, you know, we've got guys like Southey and Ferguson and Milne and players that have always been in that T20 squad for a long, long time for New Zealand. But, you know, I probably have more faith in a Matt Henry than I do it in a Tim Southey running in at the end of a T20 game, at least at the moment, with the way things are going. So, yeah. Do you think it's Stoinis time? Time to talk about him? CSK, you're pretty stoked with the way things are going. 30 for 2 in LSG's innings. You've piled on over 200. I don't even think you're that concerned when Marcus Stoinis walks out to bat at number 3, but he put on a serious show there tonight, Raj.
He did do that. I said earlier, you know, earlier when we've been talking about the IPL, that I liked Stoinis batting at 4. When I said batting at 4, I guess that was more in relation to him batting further down the order, where he's been batting at sort of 5 and 6. I like him batting at 3 even better. I'm going to say that. look, he's done a little bit of opening, especially in the Big Bash, you know, around domestic sort of domestic circuit in Australia. But I think the key here for him is actually getting in that power play. He was in early. He was able to, you know, get a bit of a flyer in the power play, get it over the infield. Had a lot of, you know, sort of green space out there that he could hit early on, and he just really he got off to a comfortable start where, you know, he wasn't struggling to find boundaries. He was hitting the ball. He was incredible. You know, for me at the moment, he is the he's got his, you know, half of his head on the turquoise hat for this week. We'll see what happens when it comes through to Monday's power rankings. The six he hit off Moeen over Long On, and I think it's still going. That's what I've heard. So, look, yeah, he is incredible. We know that he can do this because we've seen it from him at certain times, definitely on the international stage as well. Yeah, it's good to see him actually finally execute on this, what is the biggest 2020 stage of all.
Yeah, it's funny you say, you know, we know he can do it, because obviously we do, but I have to say I haven't expected a lot from Stoinis over the past kind of 12 months. And I went back and looked, because I thought, you know, why do I feel this way? You know, are the stats actually bearing this out? And, you know, since the first, and obviously this is only international, so, you know, he's had a lot of other domestic. You know, you go to his Crick Info profile, and there's about 30 teams on his, you know, who he's played for. He's one of those guys, obviously, that's been around the T20 circuit and played in a lot of different places. But yeah, since the 1st of January 2022, he's played 25 ODIs, average of 19, only scored one, a high score of 49, so hasn't even scored a 50. T20s, he is averaging 30 from 24 matches, but again, only 150. So, you know, I guess as you say, his role probably in those games has been much more as a finisher. So maybe that's the key to unlocking the best out of Stoinis, is to get him up the order and give him that time to get going. But for Australia, it's always been Maxwell who's probably been filling that role, and I suppose doing well in the, at least in the ODI World Cup, but perhaps not so much in the T20 stuff.
Yeah, and I think the big one for me is when we saw that innings from him at Eden Park, that 146 he got, almost won the game from absolutely nowhere when he was playing for Australia, 146 not out. That's why.
A long time ago, though, now.
It was a long time ago, but when you think about, you know, how good someone is, you go back to what they have done, and he did it. He did that job. Didn't quite get them across the line, but that's why I've always thought that he has that in him. He had a long time to bat on that occasion also. He wasn't coming in just to finish something off. The more balls he faces, or the more opportunity he has, I feel like there's some real upside to him, because he can bowl as well. You know, he can play both sides of the ball. If he can solidify himself, you know, scoring runs with a high average at a high strike rate, and then bowl a couple of overs that, you know, he doesn't have to crane his neck to see how far the ball's gone sometimes. But, I think he's got it in him, and, you know, he showed it to us today. 100, maiden 100. It was very good. Or not today, whenever it was. It was very, very good.
Yeah. Then before we kind of sum up what this sort of means for both these sides, I think we do just, it is worth just shouting out all that stuff that you were talking about before in terms of the finishing, because this was a perfect example again from LSG about how you finish in innings. I mean, Patirana gets Padikal with that 150k rocket that crashes into leg stump. And I think at that point they needed 123 or 54 balls, which is, you know, close to 14 and over. They got it down to needing 74 off the last five. Shout out to Nicholas Puran, who continued his strong tournament, 34 off 15 balls.
Have you seen the back? Have you seen the back of his shirt?
Puran.
Yeah, Nicky P. Nicky P. is his name on the back of his shirt.
Brilliant. I don't pay much attention to Kit, but that is fantastic. And then, yeah, look, you know, 32 off the last two, 17 off the last over from Fizz. And you know, again, you kind of, in my head, I'm thinking 17, that's quite a lot to get off the last over. Mr. Fizz has got good, you know, good change-ups. I think probably the Dew might have made those change-ups a bit easier to hit. I mean, he probably, in hindsight, hasn't exactly hit the spots that he wanted to hit. But Stoinis goes 6-4, no ball 4-4, and it's game over. Like, not even close. He could have got, you know, he was on target for 30 in that over. So, yeah, beautiful, beautiful way that they finished that innings, and yeah, just super impressive from LSG, and sets them up pretty well for the next for the rest of this tournament, I think, Raj.
Yes, 100%. They're actually in a very, very good position. It'll be interesting to see what they do with their batting at the top of the order. There, a lot of change all of a sudden. We've got Quinton de Kock, KL Rahul, Stoinis, and Padigal in the top four, but in a completely different order to what they sort of started with. In terms of bingo watch for Padigal, he managed to break his six successive score single figure scores to finally get to 13, but it took him 19 balls. Didn't hurt them in the end.
Yeah, it wasn't good
innings. But it'll be very interesting to see what that looks like for them going forward. All of those players. Definitely the top three. Padigal's sort of struggling for form at the moment, but those top three have the ability to do what Stoinis did, score 100 in a big chase or setting a big score. Then you've got Puran, Huda, all of these guys, and we've seen Bodoni score some runs as well this tournament as well. So they've got the batting to do it. The bowling I'm a little bit concerned about. Krunal Pandya and Bishnoi have been doing a great job sort of squeezing that middle. But I do think they're probably liked a fast strike bowler at the moment. So yeah, but
need Mayank Yadav back as soon as possible.
Yeah, so that's their sort of outlook. I think they're good position.
And I guess finally, just before we leave the podcast, CSK New Zealand, what is going on here? Baldy raised it the other day. Every time he sort of challenged me, because I think every time CSK has lost, we've kind of glossed over it. We've gone, oh, well, you know, like they. I don't know that we can read that much into that loss, because then they've bounced back with a win, or they've done something else in that game that's given us some confidence. I think he pointed out now earlier in the week that it had been three losses from four, and now if that was the case, it must be four from five, or at least the last five games have not been impressive. They, are not getting the starts they wanted to get. Gaikwad's come back into form, but apart from Dubey, the rest of their batting lineup has sort of gone off the boil a bit. Rahane, Mitchell, Ravindra, it's just not happening for them. And even the likes of Fizz, who was super, super consistent and may actually be leaving for international duty for a big chunk of May. Yeah, how are they going to turn things around here, Raj? Have you gone off them, or are you still thinking that they're going to be a contender in this playoffs race?
So I've definitely gone off them, but probably not for the reason that you suspect. In that second game, or the game they just played with LSG, their fielding was really poor. Not just their sort of catching, their ground fielding. Whoever is setting the fields, put someone back there for a sliced sort of over fine third man. They had a person there to save it. Ball goes there, perfect. It's just one run. Oh, it goes between his hands and his legs for four. And there were a couple of other instances like that. And, that's a good indicator of how a team is performing. And the momentum is just currently not with them at all. A bowling lineup that was causing some real devastation earlier with, Fizz, with Pathirana, even Ravindra Jadeja, Chadultaka. These are all great players. They're national players. They're international players. Deepak Chahar has been away. He actually bowled well today. I see he didn't finish his overs. He might have picked up a niggle or something there. But a bowling unit that is actually probably one of the better ones is really, really struggling. I don't know. I'm definitely going off them very, very slowly. The batting that you mentioned, 100%. It's all it is Gaikwad scored some runs, Dubey scored some runs, and Mahendra Singh Dhoni, who hasn't been out yet, isn't getting a chance to, or isn't putting himself or getting put up the order to face more balls. So, yeah, I have gone off them, if I'm completely honest with you. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it's a big week for them. They're going to have to turn things around. Next couple of games, I don't have the fixture list in front of me, but it does feel like they have to win. They have to start getting back on the winning horse again, because, as we've said, these teams, the thing is that, I think... We've probably been too quick to write off the likes of Delhi and those teams. They are only sort of one win-ish away from sneaking back into the top four. But I think that the way that those – what I find difficult for those sides is that those teams at the top, they just don't feel like at the moment that they're very easy to beat. So the likes of KKR, Sunrisers, and Rajasthan in particular, those three teams just feel like such a challenge. And so it almost feels like everyone else is fighting for one spot. And yeah, LSG now has their feet in front for everyone else to chase.
And two of those teams you mentioned, KKR and Sunrisers, have only played seven games as well. So they're a game, they're a game down on a lot of the other teams. I think that there's a lot of teams, or there's probably four teams there, five if you include Mumbai, which I want to, fighting for that fourth spot in the Eliminator Dominator sort of playoffs that we've got, because the top three are, you know, sort of tiers away. It's going to be an interesting fight. You're right. Maybe we did write off Delhi a bit too early.
Well, we will see. And as always, the weekend is usually a good one in terms of the IPL. Lots and lots of games coming over the next few days. We'll be back in your feed again on sort of Monday night, Tuesday New Zealand time for another installment of the Power Rankings, which might see a few movement, a bit of movement this week in terms of certainly LSG look like a side that they're rocketing up the rankings and the way they're playing. But thanks again for joining us. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, Raj, and talking some IPL cricket. As all the listeners and viewers, if you keep liking and subscribing, it really does make a massive difference for our podcast and all the analytics and algorithms and all of that kind of stuff and how we sort of get spread around the world. So yeah, stay tuned and we'll have plenty more coverage over the next few weeks. And thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.